Now we'll invite James here to give a charge to the congregation.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you on this February evening. You know that February consistently polls as everyone's least favorite month. So there's no greater way to break the February doldrums than to be here with you for this occasion. And you probably, if you're from Lafayette, have heard of Mr. James Carnahan. If you know your Lafayette history, he was here back in 1830, 1831, and he had been through at least one February and saw that the settlers were coming to the area. They were building log cabins and in some cases didn't even have time before the ground froze to chink their cabins, that is, to get the mud between the logs. And this man was a Presbyterian missionary. He had been sent from the East Coast, and he was reaching out to these who were settling in the area. And in 1831, he wrote back to the folks in the East, perhaps at one of the seminaries, and this is what he said of the people in Lafayette. "They want a man who can preach in the house or out of the house, on a stump or on a barrel, in a cabin or in a barn. One who, if the people cannot hear him speak, will speak a little louder. And if that will not answer, who can hollow? Who must and will be heard? One who can sit on a stool and lie on the chaff or in a log cabin without chinking. And his wife, if he has one, must partake of the same spirit." Adam, ministry in Lafayette, Indiana is not for the faint of heart. But this charge isn't for you. It's for the congregation. And what you as the saints in the church here in Lafayette need to know, at least from my experience in working in the presbytery and on various denominational projects, is that you have a man who partakes of this spirit along with his wife. And you have found quite a gem. And God's grace to you is very great this evening. And so your charge comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. It was a church that he dearly loved. And in chapter 5, he gives some final instructions. And in verse 12, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote this: "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." There is really one instruction here that's given to you in two different words. You are to respect your pastor and you are to esteem him very highly. Now you'll notice that there are two different reasons given for this charge, and there are two different ways for you to do this. You see the two reasons here are, first of all, that he labors among you, he is over you in the Lord, and he admonishes you. Of course, as has already been pointed out, you have a plurality of elders here, but this is the man that the Lord has raised up and that you have called to labor among you, to minister in your midst, and even to admonish you. This is the first reason that you're called to this kind of respect. The second reason is that he is over you in the Lord. Of course, he's going to be under you by way of service, but the Lord has appointed this one to be over you in the Lord. This is God's plan for your congregation. It wasn't ultimately your plan, or Adam's plan, or the plan of the presbytery, but the plan of the triune God. And this is why you as a congregation must esteem him, and you must respect him as your pastor. Now there are two different motivations then, or two different ways rather, in which you are to do this. First of all, you see here in verse 13 that you are to esteem such a one in love. You're to esteem him in love. You're to love him. And Paul has already written to the Thessalonians, and he's said to them, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to teach you how to love one another. And that's true of this congregation. What are the ways in which you're called to show this kind of love? Well, you're called, in Timothy's first letter, to honor those especially who labor among you in preaching and teaching. And you remember that he goes on in those verses to tell congregations that elders who rule in this kind of way and labor in preaching and teaching, of them you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out grain, and the laborer deserves its wages. This is the way in which you show love. It's certainly one of the ways. And you have this in your history. Dave Long led us in an internship, and one of the things that he told me, and David Hansen, I guess it was at that time, was that each year when their family would go on vacation, there was one member of the congregation who would slip their family a $100 bill very quietly. And that touched Dave's heart immensely, because that was esteeming their family. It was esteeming Dave in love. Dave gushed over you as a congregation because of this kind of love that you showed. And you're called to do it all over again. Now, you're not only to love, but how else are you to show this kind of respect and esteem and deference? Well, look at the end of verse 13. You are not only to do all of this in love, but you're to be at peace among yourselves. You're to be at peace among yourselves as the people of God. This is one of the ways in which you demonstrate this kind of esteem and respect. Now, this is opposite to what the folks in early Lafayette showed. Their ears were closed. They would only listen to the preacher, and they would only follow if he preached in the sort of way that tickled their ears. And if they didn't like it, they'd just sit with their arms crossed until he'd preach a little louder. They made him work. And you heard what that missionary was saying. Their hearts were hard, and they weren't going to live at peace. And as Rich has already pointed out, there might be reasons why you would be resistant to hearing. As a congregation, you're at a tender point in that you have given birth to a congregation. And I know that some of you have wondered, was that really a good idea at the end of the day, given the cost that there has been to this congregation? You saw one pastor pass into glory, and many tears were shed. And there were more tears then when it was evident that the Lord, after using Keith wonderfully here in this place, was being called on as well. And it can be quite possible for you to look back, because you have such a rich history within your living memory, when days were a little better, to look back and to say, I just wish it could be like the old days all over again. But the past is just that. It is the past. This is the year in which you'll celebrate your 50th anniversary, but the Lord brings congregations through times of weeping, and he brings those times to an end. It's really striking when you look at what God did with the people of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness. You'll recall that there were two deaths that were of great significance. The first was that of Aaron in Numbers chapter 29. And the people of Israel wept for 30 days. And then at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. And we're told that the people of Israel, in Deuteronomy 34:8, wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And then it says that the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Perhaps the mourning has already ended in this congregation. I can't know your hearts, But what I can say is that by virtue of what God is doing this day, the Lord is very graciously saying to you, to whatever extent there has been mourning and tears, the days of your corporate mourning are past. And it is time for you as a congregation to take the next step forward with gratitude for what God has done in the past, but with anticipation for what He will yet do in the future. And the second thing that can then happen as you do that is because you have this living memory of stronger days, you may hear Adam putting ideas forward. You may listen to vision that he's casting and say, you know, it just doesn't quite have the same ring as the strength that we were used to. And what you as a congregation need to recognize and understand at this particular phase of your ministry is that as the Lord has taken away certain pillars of strength that were once there, He has made this, as the prophet Zechariah once said, a day of small things. It won't seem as grand as it once did right now. But that's okay. The Lord says to His people, as they were rebuilding the temple there in Zerubbabel's day, as recorded in Zechariah, that whoever despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel as that temple continues to be rebuilt. There's a sense in which if this were the stock market, this is a congregation that has an opportunity to buy low, as it were. The Lord has done great things in the past, and here's your opportunity to be in on the ground level of new things that the Lord is doing. Not as great as they once were, as you recall, but the Lord has you right where He wants you. And He has raised up Adam Neese to lead you into the next phase of this congregation's ministry. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't shirk ideas just because they don't hit you right the first time. Buy in. Follow the leader that the Lord has raised up for you. Don't be like the early settlers of Lafayette who said, "We don't like how it sounds. You're going to have to say it a little louder, a little sweeter, a little more to our liking." No. What we want to see happen, and what you want to see happen, as you would esteem Him and respect Him in the Lord and follow your Savior Jesus Christ, is to see the Lord work in such a way that Adam writes east. Of course, he's originally from Wheeling, West Virginia, to be able to write something like this to his mom and dad. "Dear family, these folks in Lafayette, they'll listen to the preaching in their houses or out of their houses, on a stump or on a barrel. Even when I admonish them, they listen. They walk with God in their cabins, at SIA, at Purdue. They know that Jesus must and will be heard, so they bring their friends too. If their friends will not hear, they plead with God a little louder. Ann and I are in good spirits and are well supplied. The new insulation in the house dropped the heating bills this winter. The saints here esteem us in love. The work is hard and I am tired, but this church is a joy to serve and lead. By the way, the Lord has raised up an overabundance of preachers here, so we're sending some back east. Receive them in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men in the way the Lafayette Church does. Warmly,